Okay, let's move on then to the last item on this afternoon agenda. Number 11, comprehensive review of Puget Sound shrimp fishery and commission policy. And this again is a briefing with Rich Childers.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Rich Childers, again, Puget Sound Shellfish Manager for the Fish Program. And I have given a number of presentations in front of the commission, but this one was kind of a difficult one because there's some complications in here. It's we've got multiple gear types, multiple species, and so forth. So my goal is to try to get this in kind of a summary fashion that kind of makes sense without this creating a whole bunch of confusion. And well, time will tell if I'm successful or not. But unlike crab, which is one gear type, it's a little bit different. So basically what I'm going to go through is a quick overview of the life history of the pandallid shrimp. And all the species that we're talking about in Puget Sound shrimp are pandallid shrimp. A summary of the conservation and fishery management strategies that we use to protect the resource and manage a fishery, and some key elements of the shrimp fishery policies C3610 and C3008. And then a real quick overview of the trawl fishery, an overview of the pot fishery for non-spot shrimp, and then the focus of this is going to be on the pot fishery for spot shrimp because that is the key primary species that is targeted in Puget Sound. And then a summary, and I think that will take about 20 minutes, maybe 25, and then I think we have a pretty good amount of time for questions, and I expect a lot of questions. And I do have my colleague, the Puget Sound shrimp manager, here. When I get stumped, I may have to invite Mark O'Toole up to help me out. So we have four species of shrimp that are targeted, primary species that are targeted in Puget Sound. And these are not much to scale, unfortunately. So Pandallis eos, which is the pink shrimp, and that's the small little popcorn shrimp, and it only gets to about 4 inches in length, and it's primarily in the trawl fishery. Then Pandallis danae, which is the dock shrimp, which is also called the kunstite shrimp, and these are, I'm trying to get the text lined up with the species there. So the dock shrimp is a little bit bigger, but that is also referred to often as a kunstite shrimp, and its overall length is 5 inches, and it is caught in the commercial and recreational pot fishery and in the trawl fishery. Hypsinotus is the true coonstripe shrimp. It's a little bit bigger, overall length about 7 inches, and commercial and recreational pot fishery and the trawl fishery. The spot shrimp, the last one, that's the big one, overall length to 10 inches. It's commonly referred to as a spot prawn, and it's a commercial and recreational pot fishery only, and that's the, again, the primary target species in Puget Sound. So one of the interesting things, in my opinion, of the pandallid shrimp is they're all protandous hermaphrodites. So when they're small, right out of the egg, they're all males. There are no small females. And then they go through a year or so of being a male shrimp, then there's a transitional period that lasts for several months, and then they all end up as females in the larger size. So it's a little bit different from comparing it to like crab, where we do not harvest the females. In shrimp, in the spot shrimp fishery, we are harvesting the females. So that adds some new challenges in the management arena. That I'll speak to later. So ovulation, when they're releasing their eggs, occurs in October through November. 2,000 to 3,000 eggs is, you know, a fair number of eggs, but it's not in the millions, a few thousand. The females do brood the eggs on their abdomen, and there's a picture showing that under the pleopods there, for 3 to 4 months. And 90% of the eggs mature and hatch by mid-April. So the eggs are all released off the females, and that's when we actually target them in a fishery. They do have a 2 to 3 month planktonic stage, so there's a lot of movement in Puget Sound of the shrimp during that time period, and probably similar to crab, the greatest migration or movement in their life is when they're almost microscopic, when they're floating around in a planktonic stage. They're short-lived, 2 to 4 years, so big turnover of the resource. And the spot shrimp, fortunately, are all the shrimp are bottom-dwelling, but the spot shrimp in particular occur very deep. And 150 feet would be considered shallow for a spot shrimp. They're more like 250 to 300. So a couple of things on the conservation and management strategies. We have complete closures of all the fisheries during egg-bearing period, October through April. So if there's females out there that have eggs, there's no harvest pressure on them at that time. We do have minimum pot mesh size for spot shrimp that was adopted several years ago in all the fisheries. The commercial fishery had it for a number of years, and now it's in the recreational fishery and the treaty fishery. We increase the mesh size, particularly for the spot shrimp. We have time, area, and depth restrictions for non-spot fishing. So, for instance, there are areas where we can provide a non-spot fishery for recreational and commercial outside the spot shrimp area because we can have a maximum depth restriction. So they can't go deeper than 120 feet, for example. So that keeps them out of the spot shrimp resource. We do have annual state harvest management agreements, just like we do with crab. This is a very valuable resource, the spot shrimp is, so there's a lot of negotiations and so forth that go on with the tribes on the quotas and areas and seasons and so forth. We do have a quota management, and this is where it will get a little bit, hopefully not too confusing, but the fishery management regions that you see here line up perfectly with the policies that you have, policy C3610, they describe the regions and allocations and so forth for the regions, but within those regions, we have sub-area quotas, and we have a lot of them for spot shrimp. So we do manage by sub-area quotas, and you'll see maps of that further into this presentation. We do a lot of evaluation work on the quotas for these sub-areas every year using logbook information, and there's a tremendous amount of test fishing that goes on, some pre-season and a lot of it post-season. After all the fisheries are done, we're out there checking to see how many females are left on the grounds in these specific shrimp beds. And we're looking for numbers like, 1 pound per pot, 2 pounds per pot for healthy resource. And that seems to work out well. And that's the information we're using to adjust quotas for the next season or have closures and so forth. So the policy, there's two policies out there. C3610 is the Puget Sound-wide policy, and then there's C3008, which is specific to Hood Canal. Policy C3610 was revised and updated in 2003. The Hood, in both policies, reference Hood Canal. So there's provisions for allocation in both policies. And fortunately, we're in terms of the Hood Canal one, it's very simple, and complying with that policy has been very straightforward. But there's we have basically language for Hood Canal in both of those policies. They both provide resource conservation and management provisions, give us directions on managing the resource. And in 3610, it provides recreational and commercial pot fisheries and for a trawl fishery. And also in 3610, it establishes regional harvest allocation objectives for the state commercial and the recreational fishery. Policy 3008 is specific to Hood Canal, and it provides for a recreational pot fishery only. There's no trawl fishery, there's no commercial fishery. This is the way it stands now. So, a couple, I'm going to go with just an overview, a quick overview of the trawl fishery and the non-spot shrimp pot fishery, then we'll go into the spot shrimp fishery. The trawl fishery is a limited entry fishery since 2001. There's 6 transferable permits in the trawl fishery. 3 have been active over the past 5 years. So it's not, there's actually 2 permits that have not been fished. The fishery is restricted to regions 1 and 3 only. And this starts our discussion about how the sub-regional quotas. So if you look at these numbers that are on the map, the 56,000 pounds and the 10,000 pounds up north, those are sub-area quotas. The quota areas that are circled are the quotas that have been utilized by the fishery since 2001. Those other quotas haven't been taken. So out of all the quota areas, 3 of them have been utilized in recent years. The treaty tribes do not participate in the trawl fishery. They never have. They've discussed it, but this hasn't happened to date. You're not allowed to retain any spot shrimp in the trawl fishery, and they're pretty good at, we do observer ride-alongs and so forth, and they're pretty good for staying off the spot shrimp. There is a bycatch observer program that was initiated in 2011 to look at bycatch, particularly for the ESA-listed species, rockfish and eulachon smelt. So we're in year 2 of that right now, and it's a 10% observer coverage. The quotas are based on historical catches, but again, some of these quotas were pretty solid, and we knew where the catch was coming from, and it's being utilized, but otherwise, particularly in the Western Strait, those quotas have been on the books for years, but they're not utilized, so the shrimp may or may not be there. The fishery, again, there's all the permits are not active. If you look at this graph, there's pounds. There's about 817,000 pounds that hasn't changed of a quota for the trawl fishery. This is all areas of Puget Sound. And you can see what the harvest has been. It was taken about 600,000 up through 2008. Then it's dropped off in 2009. And that's because one of the 3 vessels that were participating dropped out because of a vessel problem. That vessel or another vessel is now back online, so we expect in 2012 we might start seeing a harvest rate back up around what the 2007-08 level is. But again, the point here is that the quotas are not being fully utilized, and there's 3 out of the 5 permits are active. There has been discussion within the industry group of the trawlers wanting to maybe look at working with the legislature of converting trawl permits into a pot permit that is good for non-spot shrimp only, not spot shrimp. So they would target the same species they do now, but with pots rather than trawl gear. So that's something that's being discussed now. So the non-spot shrimp pot fishery, a few more quotas in that area. So you can see, again, the quotas are on the map here by region, and the ones that are circled are the quotas that have actually been utilized by the pot fishery. It is also a limited entry fishery since 2001. There's 18 transferable commercial permits that are valid for both non-spot and spot shrimp. So that's the commercial pot fishery, are those 18 permits. There's been very, very limited participation by the treaty tribes. Early on in late 90s, there was a little bit of effort, but not much, and there hasn't been, I don't think, in the last 8 years or so. And there's very little recreational effort. Almost so little we can't hardly measure it. So we do set-asides in some of the quotas and so forth. But it's just not an interest in the recreational community for the non-spot shrimp. This also shows the state harvest quota for all of Puget Sound of 75,000 pounds. So you can see it's very underutilized in terms of hitting the quota. And you can look at the gray bars show the total harvest by the state, that's commercial and recreational, and then the blue bars are what the commercial harvest is. And as you can see, the commercial harvest is pretty much making up all of that harvest. And there's been a couple of harvesters in the last few years that have really developed some really nice local markets for non-spot shrimp, working with Pike Place Market and so forth. So it's definitely a product that's being marketed locally right here in Western Washington. So, the spot shrimp fishery. This is the one that everyone's excited about and likes to participate in. The quotas are fully utilized by the state and the tribes in the spot shrimp fishery. The participation in the recreational fishery has increased significantly in recent years. We're seeing Hood Canal has always been a very popular area for spot shrimp fishing, but in other areas, it's just every year we're seeing effort going up and up and up, and we do that through aerial surveys and buoy counts and so forth. So what that has caused is that our management as managers, the department's ability to adhere to the allocation targets that are identified in 3610 has been difficult in recent years due to this increase in recreational effort. And I'm going to show you what the targets are and some more information, but that has been our real challenge because of that growth in the recreational fishery. Adhering to the policy has been a challenge. So breaking it down, the allocation targets, this just shows by region what percentage the policy identifies for the recreational fishery and then the remainder for the commercial. And region 5, as you can see, is Hood Canal. That's 100% goes to recreational. And we also have a shrimp district, which is Discovery Bay. Shrimp district, and there in the policy that identifies that as recreational only, and that's inside Protection Island and is all recreational. So those two areas are exclusive recreational. Outside those areas, there is a recreational and a commercial target by region. So a couple of points on the recreational and the commercial fishery. There is a minimum pot mesh size of 1 inch, and that is defined as 1 inch where a 7/8 inch peg can fit through the mesh, and that's designed to allow the small male and transitional shrimp to escape, and it is filtering for the large females. Most areas of Puget Sound are only open several days during the month of May for a recreational fishery, and that's it. They hit the policy targets within a couple of days. The maximum number of pots that are allowed on a recreational boat is 4, and they're allowed 80 spot prawns per day as a daily limit. We estimate the effort using aerial surveys for some areas like Hood Canal and San Juan Islands where we count vessels, and the remainder of the areas we're counting recreational buoys. The fisheries are the amount of time that it's open is 6 to 8 hours in an area, so we can go through there with survey vessels and get a good idea of how much what the gear is, and that's where we're seeing that increase from year to year. The harvest is estimated using those effort counts, and we have creelers stationed all around Puget Sound. We tap into the salmon creelers. They help out a lot in May, and we have it's kind of all hands on deck, having creelers at all the popular boat ramps and so forth. For the commercial fishery, they also have the minimum mesh size, which they've had for years because they don't want small shrimp, obviously, for the markets. The state commercial fishery occurs June through September. So after the recreational fishery is done, we look at where they landed, and then the commercial fishery opens up around mid-June usually and goes through early September. So they have a 600-pound weekly trip limit per license since 2000, and that's a industry recommended thing for marketing, so they keep a steady market throughout the whole summer. It's primarily a live shrimp market. And the shrimp are marketed both locally as well as exported, so there's a big local export market. And I should interject, I was looking this morning just wondering where spot shrimp was on the sustainable seafood thing, and it's rated very, very high. It's at the top of the list for Washington and British Columbia spot prawns. It's very sustainable and a to-eat seafood. We manage most of the commercial fishery through emergency regulations because we're opening and closing areas, and there's 18 permits, so we can contact them all individually by email. And the fishers do report daily through, we have kind of a pretty high-tech system, they report through email or text message. Most of them are basically sending us a text message of a picture of their fish ticket right when they sell the product. So we get the copy, we don't have to wait, so we have the records that we're tracking right there.
Commissioner Duvia?
Thanks, Madam Chair. How many spot shrimp equal a pound?
It varies. I'm going to say it ranged from 8 to 12. Is that a good approximation?
8's pretty big.
Yeah.
I'd say the 10 to 14, depending on the area, count the pound.
So this picture gets a little bit more confusing, unfortunately. These are our quotas for spot shrimp in Puget Sound. So you can see the districts in the color. The Strait of Juan de Fuca, Region 3 is red, but within that we have a number of quota areas. And shrimp tend to occur in specific beds on slopes and banks and so forth. So these quotas have evolved over time to not deplete local populations that are close to harbors and so forth, so we can move the fleet around. Some of these quota areas that are out in the middle of the Strait of Juan de Fuca area are not utilized by recreational fishers. They just don't go there, so they tend to it benefits the commercial just because of the lack of interest by recreational. But in total, there are 19 sub-regional quotas for spot shrimp in Puget Sound. As I mentioned earlier, the quotas are evaluated and adjusted annually using logbook information and test fishery data. We do lots of test fishing collaboratively with the tribes, particularly after the season, to see how many females are left on the grounds. Quota increases in the remote areas where recreation don't have benefited the commercial fishery, so the actual percentage overall that they've taken in recent years has gone up, and that's just by the fact that the recreational doesn't participate in those areas. And an interesting point here is that Hood Canal, which is 100% recreational from the state allocation, makes up about 60 to 70% in a given year of what the recreational take is. It's a big area. There's a lot of spot shrimp there, and it has a very large quota, 85,000 pounds, and it's recreational harvest only.
Madam Chair.
Commissioner Jennings.
So to put that in perspective, how many days in Hood Canal is the spot prawn season open?
Yeah.
To catch 85,000
pounds. In 2012, it was 4 days at 4 hours a day. So it was 16 hours. And there's an opening day between 1,500 and 1,600 boats. And the shrimp occur in the lower two-thirds of the canal. So on a good day, there's 1,600 boats in the canal. So four days, 4 hours each, so 16 hours to take. Well, we took a little bit more than 85,000 this year. Very popular. And the success rate's very high. It's about 93% of the boats or so get a limit for the whole boat shrimp.
Director Anderson?
And just imagine what we went through in 1995 when we implemented the Rafiti decision and we had to cut the recreational fishery in half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is the total As you can see, quote is fully utilized, state and tribal. It's upward around 200,000 pounds each. And these lines move around a little bit. If you look at, for instance, the tribal harvest, it'll be higher than the state one year, lower the next. And that's because we have payback provisions. If you go over a quota, you subtract it from your following year's quota. Because sometimes these, by the time we get the data in, it's already what's taken is taken. So about 250,000 pounds for both the state and the tribes, Puget Sound-wide right now, of spot shrimp. And this is the same graph, but it breaks it down by recreational and commercial. And you can see back when the policy was adopted in 2003, it was about 60% or so recreational, 40% commercial, and the commercial, again, in recent years, it's closer to the 50-50 or so, and that's because of there's been quota increases through our research out in the Strait of Juan de Fuca area where the recreational fishery doesn't go. This is a lot of information, so I'm going to try to guide your eyes to what you should be looking at. But this is a region-wide kind of snapshot since 2003 by region of what the policy has as a recreational target on the second column there. And then if you look across, this is where we actually end up. For the recreational fishery. So in recent years, for instance, if you look at Region 2, there's been some years where the recreational fishery has gone over and this is, again, our challenge. It was 76% in 2009, 78% in 2012. And as I mentioned, we did take a little bit more than 100% in Hood Canal, Region 5. 103%. So we haven't done a bad job. We have exceeded in a few areas, but what has really changed is this picture, and that's the number of days that the recreational fishery has been open. So in some areas, like Region 1, you can see back, it used to be 79 days, and it's down to 6 now. And in Region 2, which is marine areas 8-1 and 8-2, we had 78% or so of the state share was taken this year in 2 days of a recreational fishery. And this has been our challenge of meeting the intent of the policy with these very short recreational seasons. Now, in Region 3, you can see there's the district there. That's a shrimp district in Discovery Bay, and that's 100% recreational. But outside the shrimp district in Region 3, it's still kind of a full season out there. It's open most of the summer, 7 days a week, but we don't see the effort out at Smith Island and Hindbank and those areas. So the opportunity's there, we just don't see the effort. So this is a snapshot of what just happened. We just finished up the fishery. It happened in May of 2012. So this is this year. So if you look at Region 1, we have a state harvest quota of 46,000 pounds. The recreational fishery was open for 6 days. We took 11%, or 5,246 pounds, and the policy says 15%. So pretty close there. In Region 2, again, 2 days, 78% was taken. A third day, we would have been, you know, over the state allocation. So this is kind of what it looks like right now. The commercial fishery hasn't opened yet this year. They'll be starting in full force here in a week or so, and they'll be taking the remainder of these allocations. So overall, if you look at the bottom row, overall the recreational took about 51% this year. A little bit about the values of the fisheries. This is just the ex-vessel value for the state fishery since 2003. The price of prawns has been going up. I did adjust this to $2,011. adjusted for inflation. So it was valued back in 03 at about $300,000, and now it's up to about $600,000. The price for prawns has gone up, as well as the amount of catch in the commercial fishery has gone up as well. Not really comparable data, but this shows our angler trips for just spot shrimp since 2010. So in those few days that were actually open in those areas, you'll see that there's 30,000 roughly angler trips that happen in those few days, and that's Puget Sound wide. And then if we look at that based on a $43 per angler trip value, it comes out to about $1.3 million value of the fishery. So in summary, and I'm certain there's going to be a fair amount of questions because there's, again, multiple fisheries, multiple species. The Puget Sound shrimp conservation measures include annual quotas, pot mesh size restrictions, season closures, and area and depth restrictions. The state non-spot shrimp trawl and pot fishery quotas are not fully utilized at this time by the state or the tribes. Spot shrimp quotas are fully utilized by both the state fishery and the tribes. Participation in the recreational spot shrimp fishery has increased significantly in recent years, and recreational spot shrimp opening days has decreased significantly. It's almost a proportional thing. And as I stated earlier, adhering to the allocation targets in the policy has become difficult because of that increase that we're seeing in the recreational fishery. Thank you.
Director Henderson?
Just on that last point, Rich, that's gone now. The difficulty of meeting the intent of the current policy is that the catch rate of the recreational fishery has increased to a point where we may have only fished 3 or 4 days, but if we were to go another day, we would exceed the amount that's set aside or allocated to the recreational fishery. Is that?
That's accurate. And if I go back to that table, there have been some incidences in just 1 or 2 days that we've taken beyond what the policy says is a target for the recreational fishery, just having 1 or 2 days of opening.
And our ability to find any other tools to open the valve or provide a little bit of recreational opportunity to get the balance of the quota is a tool we haven't been able to figure out what that is.
That's correct. We have looked at and talked to, you know, advisors about, well, reducing bag limits and so forth, but going below 80 shrimp or having only a 2-hour fishery versus a 4-hour, you know, that's, and we have used tools, by the way, we've reduced the number of hours open in a day. It's 7 to 3 p.m. is kind of a long day now. Hood Canal is only 4 hours.
Commissioner Jennings.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We did get a briefing on this in the Fish Committee, and one of the things that I was struck with, unlike the crab policy we looked at, was that geographically there was a, not perfect, but distinction between where a lot of the commercial spot fishing happened and the recreational spot fishing happened. So it wasn't like, while they might be still competing for the same resource at the Puget Sound level, at a functional level, they weren't really competing for the same resource. So it wasn't as easy as, oh, well, let's change the percentage of the commercial recreational allocation, because, if I remember correctly, the commercials are going further offshore, deeper, and we don't really see a lot of recreational opportunity taking place there. Is that?
Yes, Commissioner Jennings, that's true in some marine areas, but we do have, for instance, Region 2, which is Marine Area 8-1 and 8-2, basically fishing on the same grounds, but there are some areas Strait of Juan de Fuca in particular where there's really pretty large quotas where the commercial fishery takes advantage of those, but the recreational fishery does, they don't attempt it. A lot of it's a lot of skill out there. There's currents, and you really got to know what you're doing. It's not an easy place to shrimp.
Commissioner Schmitten.
Thank you, Chair. You know, Rich, you're just amazing. You give absolutely an excellent presentation on whatever you're giving, and you make a great professional poker player. You keep a straight face. Number one, I'd really like, I suspect all the commissioners, a hard copy of this. A lot of it we missed as we went through it. I've got three or four things, and I'll stop. Number two, it'd be interesting to have included a graph of the recreational effort, number, probably number of license increase over time. You referenced it several times, but I kind of like to see that curve. Number three, in the commercial total permits, I'd be interested in the active and inactive and owners of more than one permit. That's always a fact of interest. And number four, we had a chance to go through it. The other commissioners might not have, but it might have helped to walk through briefly the policies that we have. Maybe we're going to do that later, but those are just a couple observations.
And I can answer one of those questions now, Commissioner Schmitten. In terms of the pot permits for spot ponds, they're all active.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All 18 permits are fishing spot shrimp.
Individual owners?
Yes. And I believe there are some that own multiple permits, but I'm not 100% certain on that. But all permits are fishing.
Okay.
Yep.
Commissioner Perry.
Yeah, I had several questions on the extremely interesting presentation. I'm not familiar with shrimp at all, but you mentioned on the, well, let's just put it this way. Shrimp are really abundant out there. Are they food for anything? I guess what I'm asking is, are catch levels, are they affecting other things that might eat them?
That I don't know. I know they are preyed on by salmon and rockfish and so forth, but what our information is showing us through test fisheries and looking at log is that the shrimp, like crab, are on an abundance increase in Puget Sound. And particularly some of these areas out in the middle of Strait of Juan de Fuca, where we've been doing some research with the commercial industry looking at trying to push a few of these small quotas and how far, you know, when we would see a reduction in the catch rates, and we just don't see it. Every year, the abundance just keeps growing and growing, just like crab. We're seeing the same thing. So what role they're playing in the ecosystem and what they're fed on, you know, I'm certain there's a number of things that feed on shrimp, particularly the smaller ones.
You mentioned a trawl fishery for the non-spot, and I think in the straits. What impact does that have on rockfish?
Yeah, as I stated, the trawl fishery occurs in San Juan Island area, Region 1 and Region 3. There is concern over rockfish bycatch. So last year, we did our first mandated observer program. 10% of the observer trips were covered. And I may have to rely on my colleague here, Mark, who's been working on the data, but it's my understanding there was several rockfish that were caught on some observed trips, but they were not ESA-listed species. Is that correct, Mark?
Right, Rich. There was 150 trips total last season, so we had 15 observed trips. And on those, they saw a total of four rockfish, all four were Puget Sound rockfish.
Commissioner Mankin?
I had one more.
Okay.
You indicated in this same area that the for the non-spot, that the quotas were not being caught out there. Are those quotas realistic, or from a conservation standpoint, would it be better to have the level of fishing that is occurring?
Yeah, right now, particularly with the non-spots, right, there are quotas out there that we question that are on the books. There, if you look at the whole quotas, including what the tribes have, they're very underutilized. So the treaty fishery is not harvesting any of their quota, and the state fishery is underutilizing. But what we're seeing in the areas that are fish for the non-spots, the resource appears to be healthy. And again, we have good logbook data that we can reference on that. And, you know, we get very detailed information from the commercial fishers on each string that they pull, the lat long position, what they caught, how many pots, soak time, everything. So right now, there's no indication at all that we could be in over-harvest mode in any of these areas. If we started fully utilizing these quotas, particularly, you know, the treaty and non-treaty, it would probably warrant some very close observation with logbooks and post-season tests, fisheries, and so forth.
Thank you.
Commissioner Mencken?
Yeah, I have three questions for you, Rich. Excellent presentation, by the way.
Thank all of you.
For those of us who are invertebrate aficionados, I fish the Hood Canal fishery for spot prawns from time to time. I did last year. And, you know, I can see what happens when a pot comes up and you count through the number of shrimp that are in the pot. You get your 80 out, and everybody on board gets their 80 out eventually of the pots, but you're handling the shrimp by necessity, and then you put them back. So my first question is, do we have any sense at all on what the post-release mortality is on those shrimp? My second question. We also have a spot prawn fishery off the coast, a commercial fishery. I don't know to what extent, if any, there's a recreational fishery out there off the coast. How much shrimp, and I sense that it's a smaller fishery, is it, than the Puget Sound fishery for spot prawns? What are we harvesting off the coast? And coast-wide, do we have any numbers on the comparison as to what the contribution is of the commercial and recreational fisheries in Puget Sound in terms of pounds caught on coast-wide? I know that there's a fishery for them in southeast Alaska as well. And my third question is, on slide number 20, when you were talking about economic comparisons, what would we have to be able to do in order to compare commercial and recreational values in terms of economics?
Do you want me to do the ocean one and while you think up the answers to the other ones?
The ocean one's the only one I
cherry picking. That was a timeout.
Go ahead, Phil. You can speak to the ocean if you would.
Well, first of all, there's very, very, very little recreational take of spot shrimp in the ocean. There are three areas where the commercial fishery takes place. One is in the vicinity of Grays Canyon, which is about 28 miles west of Grays Harbor. There's another area that's fished that's up off the Quinault Canyon, adjacent to Cape Elizabeth, which is about 40 miles west-northwest of Grays Harbor. And then there's a third area that's up off Umatilla Reef, again, off in deep water, in the 100-fathom range. So the depth of water where they're fishing spot prawns off the coast is generally in that 500 to 600 feet of water, and 20 to 30 miles offshore from the closest port. You were taxing my memory on the numbers. I believe we have a 250,000-pound guideline for spot shrimp in the ocean fishery. And it is now, we used to have both trawl and pot gear, and we transitioned and eliminated the trawl gear 6 years ago or so. Don't hold me to that, but and so it's a pot fishery only now, and there are, I believe, about 15 permits.
Yeah, thanks, Phil. And I did look at that data. I got it from Dan Ayers on the coast. I believe the last few years the catch has been about 130 to 150,000 pounds total on the coast. The release and mortality of released spot shrimp is a question that we get hit with a lot. Particularly, it's almost like the better the recreational fishery is when they bring that last pot up and they've already hit their limit. So we get that a lot. We have not done any specific research on that. There's been some done up in Alaska where they tagged and released, and then they would catch them again. And obviously, some are surviving, and some number are probably going to perish from being stressed. But we really don't know, have a good figure for the survival rate. There's some opinions that if they can get by the birds and get back to the bottom, the survival rate's probably pretty good, but the reality is we really don't know. There's no air spaces or swim bladders or anything like that, even though, so they're coming up from very deep, so that shouldn't affect them in that way. So,
Commissioner Smith.
During the winter, and I can't remember when it was, I was walking dockside in Bellingham, and there were spots for sale, and each one had an egg cluster. Was there any way that could have been legal?
What time of year was?
During the winter. I can't remember. It was between Christmas and March or something. They were selling them from a boat in Bellingham Harbor. And they were all dead, but I noticed that each one did have an egg cluster.
I would almost think that that could have been a test fishery from that was being sold, maybe a treaty, but that's even out of the range of time when those are done. So that does not sound like a legal.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have any legal harvest other than some test fisheries occasionally when shrimp have eggs. In fact, we have a very low egg. There has to be less than 5%, more like 2% of
these were full.
Yeah.
Full.
Yeah.
How much you buy, Brett?
John.
Well,
could they have been Alaska?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to mention. Alaska is different. They actually, their fishery, because of conflicts and times, they actually do harvest, their peak harvest is right during the spawn time.
Because they do have
right.
boats going. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Commissioner Carpenter?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have one question for you, Rich, and then one, if I may, for Mark. The first question is not a loaded question because I greatly respect your ability and your knowledge and your management skills. So, and what I want to try and do is try and get a kind of a rational understanding of the resource here. And I understand, comparing it to British Columbia. Now, I understand, first up, that there's a huge amount more geography in British Columbia and much fewer people. But they manage their fishery there now at, 365 days a year and 200 prawns per day and 400 in possession. I'm not suggesting we have much wiggle room, but I would just entertain perhaps looking in to see if we've got some wiggle room as we learn more about managing these.
Yeah, and wiggle room meaning can we put more resource available for harvest? And we have been doing a tremendous amount of looking at the quotas and increasing them. We've kind of been baby stepping them, but now those baby steps are starting to add up after 10 years or so. The Canadians, if I could speak to that for just a moment, they have a wonderful management strategy that we would love to be able to adopt in Washington, but it just won't work. They It's primarily a commercial fishery up there. The recreational fishery is considered almost insignificant, the amount of catch. And what they have is a very intensive observer program aboard the commercial vessels. And they open an area for fishing, and they harvest it until they hit a spawner threshold of, I believe it's 9 females per pot on average for all the commercial vessels that are in that area. Then they close it, and they move the fleet to the next area. They are basically managing one user group, a commercial fishery. And because we have recreational and commercial and tribes, we've thought about that spawner index, and is there any way? And that's when we're doing those post-season test fisheries, that's what we're looking for. It's like, you know, we just had a big quota increase in an area. Did we take it down anywhere near that 9 or 10 females per pot average? And as I mentioned earlier, we've increased some quotas in some areas quite drastically as kind of a research in recent years, and we still have not got down to that spawner index threshold.
Regarding your comment about little or no recreational fishing, I do have to say that's not true anymore. In my mind, having been there and seen it, they have some world-class shrimp fishing in many of their inlets and fjords, and the recreational community is starting to participate. And I don't know the measurable quantities as it relates to the commercial fishery, but it's a viable recreational opportunity there. If I may ask Mark a question. Mark, you've been doing this for decades, and I know people that work with you all the time have really high regards for you. Having said that, what ideas do you have? What's your perspective on this?
Well, I think our management constraints with the, we kind of need a number going into the season with, because of the, you know, the allocation with the tribes. Mm-hmm. So it makes us difficult to use the Canadian model. I think if you look at our postseason test fishery data, we are being much more conservative than the BC fisheries are. I mean, they take it down to 9 females per pot. We would probably be panicking if we took it down to 9 females per pot. We're more 20 or 30. So we are leaving more shrimp, female shrimp, you know, to sustain the resource on the grounds and the Canadians do. We could, you know, we've been experimenting, like Rich said, with a couple areas out in the middle of the straits, really ratcheting up the quotas, and so far it seems to have no ill effect. The catch rates on females postseason are quite strong. So as far as, I mean, we are being conservative. As far as the recreational fishery goes, the one thing that nobody mentioned as far as managing it and trying to limit it and still allow opportunities, going to something like they do with big game or something like that, some kind of drawings or that sort of thing. We kind of don't want to go there, but eventually we're going to end up at a point where we're not even going to open for a day, or we'll be over the quota in some areas.
Well, one of the things that happens in these fisheries that are somewhat managed like a derby mentality, which is the shrimp and the halibut to some degree, there's no salmon fishing during those time frames, so there's nothing else to do, so everybody goes shrimp fishing. I don't think we can do anything about it, but that's a reality in the recreational community. Thank you.
Commissioner Jennings.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, you were talking about the trawler permit holders themselves are looking to convert to pots and going to the legislature asking for that to happen. Is that?
Yeah, I've been contacted by a couple of permit holders that are talking about that, and they want to have that as a discussion with our advisory group first, and they're looking at trawl permits to go to a pot permit for just non-spot shrimp, not spots.
Right, because I don't know exactly the type of trawls they're using, but in general, you know, the trawls have gotten a bad rap for what they do to the bottom of the seafloor that they're being dragged across. So, you know, the starting place in my mind, if the trawl permit holders themselves are looking to convert to pot use, that sounds like a great idea, and hopefully the department and the advisory group can support that if and when they go in front of the legislature. As far as taking it, harvesting harder, finding, I don't, what was your phrase about finding more opportunities or, you know, to me, I'm looking at this as a, we're hitting them pretty hard, maybe not as hard as we could, but we're also trying to move to an ecosystem management which says we're not really managing each species individually. We do recognize that they contribute back to that whole system. So skimming the surplus is we don't want to be dipping too far into the capital as far if it's going to be affecting other parts of the system. So I like the approach we're taking now. Everybody today has said, oh, that 80 number is sacred. I guess I'm asking myself, why is that sacred? If it's 10 to 14 per pound, that's 60 plus shrimp for one person, and that feeds the whole family pretty well. And you know, if you got four people in the boat, that's a, you know, 240 shrimp, or as opposed to 320. If that's going to put us another day or two in the water, so that other people can get out there and enjoy it, you know, I guess in my mind, that's not off the table for us to consider taking it down from 80. Now that's, you know, talking off the top of my head and not having any discussion around it, but at least that's one thing that would take the harvest down by 25% per day, possibly, if we had the same number of people participating in a lower limit. So those are the 3 points, trawlers, the sustainable ecosystem, and the numbers. So.
Commissioner Mankin,
yes. Let's,
that number three question of yours.
Let's talk about that afterwards. I don't think you can come up with that right off the top of your head. So.
You could read my body language.
It's very articulate body language. Okay, any other questions? Mr. Duvia?
Current price per pound?
For spot shrimp, $9 to $10.
So, just one quick question: the non-spot shrimp. Why is there so little interest in it? Is it? Doesn't it? I know it's smaller, but doesn't it still taste? Don't they taste good?
I think they taste really good, but for some reason, I think they're too small for most of the sport fishers. About 95% of the shrimping effort ends when, maybe 98% when spots close in most areas. Although I think people are starting to develop a taste for them, and it might be an expanding fisher.
Okay. Okay. Very good. I assume the Fish Committee will be speaking up this issue again and figuring out if there's anything we want to do. It's been quite a while since the policies were developed. In the past, we've reviewed policies that have gotten just old. So, Fish Committee, you're meeting. And you know where you're meeting?
Yes, we do.
Okay. And the Big Tent Committee, we know where we're meeting. All right. So we'll see you in the morning at 8:30.
Is your Big Tent Committee full?
I believe it is.
I assume it is.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay. This meeting's recessed.
Thank you.
Thank you.